More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Well, first of all, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope you're having a beautiful day with your family or spending time with your loved ones. I know I'm home spending time with my family on this Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving. For this episode, this is an interesting one because we're going to talk to General Michael Flynn. A lot's been written about him. A lot's been said about him. But we're going to get to the bottom of it with the man himself. Now, if you look at Michael Flynn's resume, he's done so much for this country. You know, he began his 33-year Army career as a second lieutenant in military intelligence. He went on to serve as the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency in 2014. He went on to serve as President Trump's national security advisor as well. So he's worked for both Democrat presidents with Obama as well as Donald Trump. But his time as national security advisor was short. And the reason why it was short is that a phone call was leaked that he had when he was part of the incoming administration before he took the helm as national security advisor with then Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak. Now, someone broke the law in releasing this phone call that he had had, this classified information, to try to paint a narrative. And this was part of that broader narrative that the left was waging against Donald Trump and his team, that there was this collusion, that there was Russia collusion. In short, what happened was the FBI skirted protocol and not advising the White House and not telling the White House that they're going to have this conversation with Michael Flynn. And they interviewed him. Pretty obvious it was a trap, because you can even look at a handwritten note that was released from the former FBI counterintelligence director, Bill Priestep, following a meeting that he had had with then FBI director James Comey and then director Andrew McCabe. And it says this: what's our goal? Truth slash admission, or to get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired? So you can kind of see what the FBI's objective was with going to go and interview Michael Flynn. So let's talk to him about that. What does he think the objective was? What was that experience like to be on the receiving end, to face the weaponization of government? And as someone who has given so much to his country, as someone who has seen the underbelly of the intelligence community, the belly of the beast who's been inside it, what reforms should happen? What should the next Republican president do to right the ship? You know, and it's sad that he had to go through all that, because after the fact, you have people like Senator Chuck Grassley, who is an institution guy, of the phone call that Michael Flynn had, he says this. He said there was nothing improper about his call, and the FBI knew it. Then you have former Attorney General Bill Barr, who said that basically what Comey and the FBI officials were doing was to set up Flynn in a perjury trap. We'll get into all of that with General Michael Flynn, and we'll also talk about his new children's book, The Night the Snow Monster Attacked. You listen to the conversation, come to your own conclusion. What do you think after listening to this interview with General Michael Flynn? Stay tuned. Thanksgiving. Hopefully you're taking some time to spend with your family and enjoying the holidays.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. And thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And I appreciate all that you do and represent in all the things that you do. I mean, you're a great personality and a great spokesperson on a number of levels for a whole range of really important topics these days. So thanks for having me.
Well, I really appreciate that, sir. I'm sure you share the concern for our country right now, particularly as someone who's really, you know, dedicated his life to national security issues, to foreign policy. I mean, how frustrating is it to watch everything sort of fall apart under this administration?
Well, it's not just under this administration. It's been under multiple. It's been for decades, Lisa. So, you know, if you've been paying attention to the country and for your listeners, who I'm sure they're switched on audience, it's not one administration. There is an intentional destruction of our way of life. It's very real. It's not a conspiracy theory. If anybody wants to take the time to look at the latest G20 summit, who attended, who didn't attend, the messages, the outcomes, this is a restructuring of the sort of the global order. It's very, very real. And there are a group of people, a body of people that also are in charge of countries, large nation states around the planet, who are behind this restructuring, and they're intent on making it happen, probably within this decade. So one of the last bastions of that effort is the United States of America, and so. Anybody who thinks that our election systems are free and fair is smoking dope, and they're not. So we have not had, really fair elections for a long time. And that's a big part of being a constitutional republic. And it's just come to the forefront since really, 2016, 2020, but it's been going on.
Get a little bit more into, you mentioned the G20, if anyone was paying attention to that, what should people have been paying attention to that. Get into what you mean there.
Yeah, well, they need to listen to, first of all, look at who attended and who didn't attend. That's a big deal. The G20 is, is supposed to be the top 20. It's supposed to be the movers and shakers on the planet, right? The nation states on the planet, France, Canada, the United States, China, Russia, Japan, the big economies, the big players, those countries, those nation states. And I say that, use that phrase specifically, those nation states that have sound economic systems, sound monetary systems, right? Sound political systems. And most of them do not, many of them are dictatorships in some cases. So the G20, who's there, who's not, who's in, who's out. And then also the messaging that came out of it. So if you have people that do not represent nation states that are being given big, big platforms like Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum. Yuval Noah Harari on the sidelines was also a speaker there. I guess it was at least on a panel. You got Bill Gates, talking about, the whole issue of population control and vaccinating the entire planet. I mean, one of the outcomes of it is a vaccination card that all the G20 nations signed up for. And that vaccination card is going to dictate a whole range of issues. And it's going to be put into play here over the next couple of months. And people need to be paying attention to it. But that's one of the outcomes. But the G20 is supposed to really set the, it's supposed to be a place where really, you can bring to the fore issues that are massive geostrategic, geopolitical issues like war, like a giant economic systems and fractures in those systems, big trade agreements that are multilateral. In many cases, the G20 allows the world leaders to be able to do also what's called bilateral meetings, like you know, the president of the United States can meet with the premier of China on a one-on-one basis with their teams and be able to discuss big trade issues and also other global issues on a bilateral effort. But one of the important speeches that came out of that was Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum, where he talks about the great segmentation and a new world restructuring, and that this restructuring of the world on a multilateral basis is going to essentially cause greater strife, and that we need to be prepared for that greater strife. And this is Klaus Schwab. You know, people can go, your audience can go listen to him, but very few people in the media, Lisa, and I would say, you know, almost less than all the mainstream media, and I include some of the more conservative platforms, the larger platforms, but all the mainstream media, they don't even bother talking about it because they think, you know, this is all a big conspiracy theory, but it's not. It's been going on for a long time. It's been in play for about 50 years. It's taken the better part of the last two decades, maybe two and a half decades, probably started in earnest in the 90s. And now here we are. So here we are. And so what does that mean for the United States of America? It means a breakdown in all of our institutions of government, a breakdown in our institutions like academia, a breakdown in our health institutions. And all of it has been brought on by, you know, so it's kind of like, so why are we here? Well, we're here because the American people have become apathetic and lazy in how they respond to the political mess that we have in our country, the levels of corruption and, you know, and greed, essentially, particularly in Washington, D.C., the lack of justice, lack of accountability, the lack of moral courage. So those are the issues that are in play. And they were, many of those are, you know, are addressed in a G20 type summit. You know, when you have these, you combine the G20 summit with what the World Economic Forum discussed in Davos in this past June. And there is a very consistent message. And the consistent message is that the world is going to be reset, and it's going to be reset under their terms. And you know, nation states like the United States of America, which is a constitutional republic, you know, don't worry about it. You'll be happy, you know, and because everything's going to be under our control. And these are very, very real things.
Well, I don't think you sound crazy. I mean, we've seen, you know, world leaders simultaneously.
I'm going to tell you what, as many people that have come at me and said things about me, I'm not. This has been my life. My life has been, and not just in the military. People have no clue what we do in the military these days, because the military represents about 1% of the population. So believe me, my life has been national security. And national security isn't just about foreign wars. National security is about every aspect of our country. And our country is at risk. And I want your audience to understand that. Because you do have a smart audience. You have an audience that does cross over a bunch of things. You know, I'm not a person who is prone to just saying things. I'm not perfect. I've, you know, made mistakes in things I've said, but I am very, very focused on the security of our country and the fabric of our republic, and it's frayed. And like I tell people when I go out and I speak at times, that we are living on the edge of the existence of the United States of America. That's very real. And I don't say that tongue in cheek. I don't say that in a conspiratorial way. I say that very matter of fact. And most people, even people in the media such as yourself, don't pay enough attention, because we tend to want to get, you know, guests and you know, on our shows to talk about different things instead of really, you know, we don't even appreciate the journalists that are digging into these issues that I'm raising right now.
Well, General, we've done interviews on the World Economic Forum on this podcast, so my audience is actually familiar with that. That's something that we've discussed. I've had someone on who's doing a docuseries about it, because what I was going to say is that we have seen simultaneously, you know, all these quote unquote Western world leaders pushing the same policies on, you know, the green energy, right? Which just, you know, you look at all these different things, whether it's climate or whether it's COVID, suddenly the answer for those on the left or these people in charge is just to give up control, you know, to give up your liberties, to give up control to the government. We've seen that on the green energy front that they're trying to push, as well as on vaccines, as you mentioned, these vaccine passports, and also trying to push people in that direction. And the solution of all of this is for us to give up our liberty, to give up our control to the people who are in control. So, that's something that we've discussed. I totally agree with you on. You know, I wanted to ask you, looking at Ukraine, when and how do you think the war in Ukraine will end? And what do you make of it?
I really think that the West, and that includes the United States, our administration, is actually pushing us toward war. It's frightening to hear a sitting president of the United States talk about nuclear weapons the way that Biden has talked about nuclear weapons. That is just so outrageous. I mean, this is, first of all, and I've written about this prior to Russia's recent incursion, and I was in government when they went in 2014, in February of 2014. In fact, it was right after the Olympics, right after the Sochi Olympics, and they went in again. But I wrote about how this was avoidable, and so we have an easy peace that can be achieved, very, very easy peace that can still be achieved. But the people that I just talked about at places like the G20, those in NATO, those in the European Union, they don't want peace. They'll talk about it, but actually war is much more beneficial, and war with Russia is much more beneficial. And the amounts of money that are involved in a place like, first of all, the amount of money that's involved in war, versus what I have written about, which is the aberration of peace, right? The lack of peace, sort of in human history. But the idea that there are nations in the West, most of them actually, with a few exceptions, would actually rather have war with Russia because, you know, there's a great deal of wealth that flows from that, and the people that are in charge, they don't get affected by it. They, you know, who gets affected are people in the various militaries and the people that live in Ukraine and the people that live in Russia and the people that live in Eastern Europe who will be affected by it. I mean, look at what AP, the Associated Press, essentially, they essentially lied about this recent, so let's face it. Come on. Wild. I mean, they, you know, I know the Associated Press, you know, they're no friends of mine. They lied about me for many, many years, and causing the entire stock market to go down in one particular day, 400 points. So, I mean, I have a lot of insight, and I know a lot of these people. I know a lot of these nations. I know the history of what's going on. The United States of America benefits significantly when the Cold War ended. You know, when the Cold War ended and the USSR, the former USSR broke apart, right? The Soviet Socialist Republic of Russia, right? They broke apart. Well, there was a lot of money that was in the sort of security state apparatus of the United States that was handed to them, taxpayer dollars, to be able to defend up against the Soviet Union, right? And the Warsaw Pact, a lot of money. So when that ended, when that Cold War ended after 40 years, you know, does that mean that those budgets are going to go away? Well, in some cases, they should have shifted and they should have gone away. But as long as we, the United States, keeps Russia as a boogeyman, then those budgets continue to flow. And you think, geez, that's 1990, you know, essentially, you know, roughly when the Cold War ended, 1990, 1992 timeframe. So it's years ago, it's decades ago. Well, those budgets, they continue to flow, Lisa. And that's why the security state, the security state is really, they are above the, what Eisenhower talked about, the military-industrial complex. And the security state is now basically controlling, in a lot of ways, the outcomes and the decisions that are being made not only by the United States of America but by other nations. And so the situation in Ukraine was totally avoidable. It can clearly be shut off almost overnight. Almost overnight, if we have reasonable leaders particularly in the West. And it could be done in a very win-win fashion. But that's not what the leadership wants. I mean, we continue to talk about sending advisors. You know, when we sent advisors to Vietnam in the early 60s, actually in the late 50s, but early 60s, we sent advisors. The next thing we knew, we lost, 50,000 killed in action in Vietnam, right? And we started by sending advisors. So a war in Europe, they only benefit those that want to be benefited by it. And lastly, on Ukraine, I'll let your audience know, Ukraine is one of the largest. In fact, it is the number one country, according to our State Department, the most corrupt country on planet Earth in terms of nation states defined as such. And one of the things that Ukraine also does is it's one of the largest drug trafficking for the heroin trade, one of the largest human trafficking, and one of the largest weapons trafficking countries on the planet. So why is Ukraine so interesting now all of a sudden to try to protect? And that's a big question. And those are not conspiracy theories. Okay, those are real things, and that's just a fact of life. So why are we there? We're there for all the wrong reasons, and the objectives that we have are I can't even tell you what the objectives are for the United States of America. I can't tell you what the objectives are for NATO or the European Union.
Quick commercial break. Back with General Flynn.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Very confusing. And they also try to get us to believe that, you know, Russia blew up its own pipelines and all, you know, this, that, and the other, which makes no sense. It flies in the face of common sense. But I think that sort of gets me to this bigger point of you talking about the fact that we don't really know who to believe right now in the country, that these people who are supposed to be in charge don't have the best intentions. You had mentioned, you know, the media lying as well. And that sort of gets us to where we are today as a society and sort of fearing our own government. And you, like President Trump, have been on the receiving end of the ire of our government. How much do you think, you know, the FBI going after you was because you spoke out against the Obama administration after you had left? Was it retaliation?
It was, yeah, it's not just about the Obama administration, and it's not just the FBI. Okay. The FBI is just a tool. So, you know, it's much, much bigger than this. I mean, I'm not sitting here, you know, chatting with you about, you know, we'll talk about a great, you know, children's book here in a second, but you know, this is bigger than going after Mike Flynn or frankly, Donald Trump with the FBI. Those are tools. And the ultimate goal is to take over the United States of America. That's the ultimate goal, and do it in a way that, frankly, I mean, who has been really held accountable for anything other than any of us that have been standing up for the country, right? Donald Trump stands up for the country. That man has far better things to do, you know, but actually I say that tongue in cheek, because there's nothing greater than standing up for one's country. And for guys like him, guys like me, when you do that and you're standing in the way of a takeover by a global reset, okay, by what is described as the Great Reset for this new multicultural world order. When you stand in the way of that, and that's essentially what Trump did when he ran for president and won. And I stood right by, you know, I stood by his side and did that. And, you know, the minor tactical issues that were on my plate was to completely change or restructure, talk about restructuring the national security system and the intelligence agencies. Remember, I ran one of the largest intelligence agencies in the world. And, you know, and that was an appointment by Obama. So, I mean, you don't get picked for jobs like that. Never mind being picked for national security advisor to the United States. You don't get picked for those jobs because you're a conspiracy theorist. You know, you get picked because you know what you're talking about. And so when it comes to believability, my counsel to your audience is to decide, you know, who to believe, what to believe, but to look at all the information that's out there. And I know people's lives are busy, but this is really, we're talking about the United States of America and whether or not we can continue on as a beautiful experiment in democracy as our founders wanted, you know, as a constitutional republic. The one fact, the one big, big strategic fact of life, at least, is that nation states rise and fall. And so where is the, you know, where is the United States in that sort of pendulum or that sine wave of history? And that's a question that I have been, you know, trying to understand and know for the last probably 30 years of my life.
No, you've done so much for this country. Your bio is impeccable. And what I always thought was so unfair and what they did to you was that they went after you for a call that you had with then Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak when you were the incoming national security advisor. So those calls are standard to be talking to, you know, foreign counterparts.
It's not the call. The call is a tool. The call is a minor tactic to just throw anything. I mean, you know, Joe Biden, the current occupant of the White House, is the one that raised the Foreign Agent Registration Act. Why did he even know about that? Is that because his son Hunter was deeply involved in foreign agent operations as a foreign agent without the knowledge of the U.S. government? I was, by the way, involved with the knowledge of the U.S. government on all levels. So that whole phone call nonsense. It was a very legitimate phone call. And the other aspect of that, because you raise it, is there, people have to understand that there are, this is not just the left or the Democrats. We also have in the Republican, you know, the Republican side of our of our Washington, D.C., let's say, I'll just be more finite. In Washington, D.C., we have a body of people in Washington, D.C., and I describe it in another thing I wrote about called the Uniparty. You know, and the Uniparty is this establishment political class in our country, both Republicans and Democrats. And so, frankly, I also had Republicans inside the White House that were after me. Okay. And that's real. That's very real. And that's actually come out for anybody that digs into the whole case of what I was facing, was part of the problem. It wasn't just Democrats. It wasn't just Obama. Obama, again, he's another person who is a tool for a greater cause. And that cause that these people have is to take over the United States of America because of all the great things that we do have. And it's very real. It's very real. Democracies are always fragile. The constitutional republics or republics in history haven't lasted this long. We've been blessed to be able to last this long.
Well, and just for the folks at home, I'm sure they're familiar, but you know, the FBI set up this interview with you. It occurred outside of standard protocol. They did not tell you what their intention was. There's this handwritten note from this former FBI counterintelligence director, Bill Priestap, following a meeting with Comey and then director Andrew McCabe, and what they said about it. What's your goal? Truth/admission or to get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired? And then after the fact, you have people like Senator Chuck Grassley, who said there was nothing improper about this call. The FBI knew it. You had former attorney general say that it was a perjury trap and what they're trying to do to you. So it's, you know, do you think it mattered what you said to them, or were they just dead set in trying to crush you?
Two things. One, the lead FBI agent for the Crossfire Hurricane, his name was Barnett. Okay, Barnett, not Priestap. Priestap was a head of counterintelligence for the FBI. He was aware of all this, but he wasn't in the day-to-day activities. The lead agent was a guy named Barnett. And in October of 2020, so a month before the 2020 presidential election, September, and then his affidavit, his 302, they call it, came out. And in it, this is the lead agent for the FBI for Crossfire Hurricane. In it, he basically says, in fact, he almost specifically says, the entire effort was to get Flynn to get Trump. Okay? So this is the lead agent for Crossfire Hurricane. His name is Barnett. His 302 came out in October of 2020. People can go look it up online. That's number one. The second thing is that all this other stuff, it's like, You're talking about the national security advisor to not only the president, but to the United States of America is very, very critical role. And what I tell people, Lisa, is that had I stayed in that job, and this is why people didn't want me in that job, both sides, okay? Had I stayed in that job, one of the historical facts would have been that there would have been no Mueller investigation had I stayed in that job, okay? So they needed me out. That would have not happened. Had I stayed in that job, there would have been no Mueller investigation. So that, imagine that. So when you think about that, you say, you know, holy crap. I mean, imagine that. Had we not gone through that madness. And what they wanted is they wanted me out of the way because I had already started looking into things because I know exactly where to look, right? I mean, some people have said, you know, Flynn knows where the bodies are buried. That's a metaphor for knowing exactly where to look. When you run an intelligence agency in the United States of America, one of the largest in the world, when you run one of these, you have access and knowledge to a lot of things. And in addition, as preparing for the national security advisor job, I also was privy to the entire nuclear system. You have to be. You got to be ready on day one, right? On minute one. So, I mean, these are things that are huge. There are large, large enterprises behind them. There's an ungodly amount of wealth, and people, not only in this country, but elsewhere, want access to it. They want access to all of it. And it's a scary thing when you think about it. It's frightening, actually. But I need people to understand that this is not some political, you know, politics as usual time of life here. This is not I like small government and you like big government. We may not see, if we don't get some of these issues resolved in this current midterm election. I mean, you know, I've heard, and I don't know if you've said it, but I've heard other media people, other big people with big platforms talk about, well, the Republicans got to get better at mail-in ballots and they got to get better at ballot harvesting. Bullshit. I mean, if there's cheating, you don't get better at cheating. You just don't cheat, but you stop it and you hold people accountable. You know, that's what the American people want. The American people want to see courage. And courage, I always say, is a decision. It's not something you're born with. You have to make the decision to be courageous. So I want people out there to be courageous and make that decision. And they want accountability. Nobody has been held accountable for what we know, because you're honing in on this Russian investigation. Nobody has been held accountable for it. Nobody.
And they leaked the call, which is a crime in and of itself, the classified call. So it's like there's been numerous crimes taking place, as you mentioned. No accountability whatsoever. So, you know, sir, as someone who's worked, I mean, you were the national security advisor. You've done all these massive jobs in the intelligence community, spent your life's work dedicated to protecting this country. As someone who's sort of seen inside it all, what changes need to be made if Republicans get another Republican president in office? What do we need to do? How do we, you know, clearly people don't trust the system. You've seen all the ugliness of it. So how do we change it? You know, what do we need to do?
If we have another president, like a Donald Trump type president, I mean, honestly, the political class establishment types are not going to be able to do what I'm about to kind of lay out, but they just don't have the capability because they're too much into the establishment, and that's every sitting governor. It doesn't mean that they're bad people; it just means that they just don't have the courage. Back to using the word courage or making the decision. So what we need to do is we need to have two things really in order to fix this country. First, we got to have a leader that gets in there that knows how to do it and has the guts to do it. But the two sort of big strategic things are we've got to have a complete revamping of our national security system, okay? And a complete, so part of that, a subtext to that, is a complete relook of our national security priorities. And those are very real, and they are, and the American people would absolutely resonate with a scrubbing and a cleaning up and a reprioritizing of things that actually matter to the people of America. That's number one. The second thing is a government, a complete overhaul of the United States federal government, a complete overhaul. And that's very possible to do. You obviously need the legislative branch because of budgets and such, but actually, you know, much of what can be done by the executive branch, by the power of the president. Okay, not the power of an agency director or a department head like a Department of Defense or something like that. They have some capabilities, but actually, the president of the United States has the ability to direct and expect government overhaul. And government overhaul at the federal level is absolutely necessary. I mean, we have to have it. And I really haven't touched on the judiciary. I think the judiciary, you know, just needs to be, the right types of attitudes and people who are really true to the Constitution. I mean, I'm not going to touch on, you know, good judges, bad judges. I've had them. I've dealt with them both. And it's really about the executive branch of the government and the power of the president, the president, to be able to overhaul the federal government, because the federal government is primarily the executive branch of the government. And, it's not so much the legislative or the judiciary. It's the executive branch where it has become so bloated and so out of control. And unless we do those two things, we're going to continue down this path that I feel is getting to a place where, you know, it's almost irreversible, but we're not there yet.
Quick break. So much more.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I hope those changes are made. I think a lot of people share the concerns that you just echoed. Obviously, watching what they did to President Trump, what they're doing to you, and still trying to do with this Georgia probe as well. It's, Donald Trump's the most investigated man in American history, and what they're doing to him is wrong. I don't care if people like him or love him or hate him. It's wrong. But I wanted to get into your new children's book, The Night the Snow Monster Attacked. First of all, that must have been fun to write about. And then secondly, sort of get into the book and why it's special and why people should go check it out for their kids.
Yeah, so thank you, because this is really, what life is all about. And that's trying to help, let children be children, give children an opportunity to be kids, right? And so I had a great opportunity and really through my relationship with Cash Patel, because he has a great book that's also part of Brave Books. And
yeah, we talked to him too. Yeah.
Yeah. People can go to bravebooks.com and check it out. They can, perfect time of year, right? Coming into Christmas with, get a annual subscription for your kid. But this particular book, The Night the Snow Monster Attacked, this is a great book for teaching values and principles like discipline, decision-making, perseverance, resilience, all the things, all the challenges that children are up against. And my ultimate goal really is to try to let children, to help children be children, to give them an opportunity to just be kids these days. It's so hard given all the other stuff that's going on in our lives. And so that's why I got involved with Brave Books. That's why I'm so jazzed about this particular book for children. And I think now we still have a thing where, if you do an annual subscription, Lisa, at bravebooks.com, and you, I think it's, you know, you t- tell them the general sent you or something. You get my book for free if you buy an annual subscription. I think that we still have that deal in play. So people can go to bravebooks.com and get the annual subscription and get a copy of my book for free.
I love that. And I think those are important lessons, you know, particularly with kids these days. It seems like they don't have any respect. It's just, you know, we're not teaching kids the right thing. So I love that idea for a book. You know, sir, where can people go get it?
They can go directly to my website, generalflynn.com, generalflynn.com, or they can go to bravebooks.com.
Awesome. Yeah, Brave Books does some really, you know, great things. We talked to Cash about his book as well. You know, sir, is there anything else you'd like to leave us with before we go?
Yeah, I am normally a glass half full type person, Lisa, but I'm a realist. And I just know that if people, you know, in our Constitution, Lisa, there's three words, consent of the governed, consent of the governed, meaning we have to get involved. And I want people that listen to your show, to your great show, your great audience, I want them to get involved in their communities like they've never been involved in their local communities before. And I'll finish with the phrase, local action equals a national impact. And if people get involved in their communities, we can save this nation.
I love that. And I think that is so true. It's got to be a bottom up thing. And we got to want it. And we need to fight for this country. Sir, thank you so much for your service to this country. You've done so much. You've served the country for decades. So thank you for that. Everyone go out and get General Flynn's new book, The Night the Snow Monster Attacked. Sir, thank you so much for your time. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you get to spend the day with your loved ones. And it's a special day.
Yep. God bless, Lisa. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your audience.
Interesting. I mean, look, a lot of people have a lot of opinions on him, but I think it's better just to hear from the person themselves. And then, you know, you can judge. I personally think he got railroaded. And, you know, I think it says a lot about where we are as a country and the weaponization of government. So I wanted to talk to him myself. And, you know, you can be your own judge. But I hope everyone has a beautiful and happy Thanksgiving. I want to thank you all for listening every Monday and Thursday, but you can listen throughout the week. I want to thank John Cassio, my producer, for putting the show together. As always, I love reading your reviews on Apple Podcasts. Love it when you give me a review. So thanks so much for listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.